Well, I don't know whether to wear his glasses or just look over the top of them. I can see you better when I look over the top of them, but I can't see my paper until I do that. So I got a few notes that I'm going to try to follow a little bit, but hopefully this won't get to be too much of a problem. I got a good buddy that preaches down at the Lincoln County Jail. He called me the other night, Saturday night, give me plenty of notice. Said, would you like to do the service for me tomorrow morning? I said, no, I don't really want to do it, but I will do it. Wasn't what I wanted to do. But I said, you know, since it's you and I like you, you asked me to do it. Okay, I'll do it. So I had a little bit of something to say, maybe, I thought. Went over to the jail. I was supposed to call this guy, so I called the guy. He said, if you wouldn't care, try to preach to those that are in protective custody. I said, that sounds like fun. Yeah, them are the guys I like. Protective custody. I said, well, what does that entail? You know, because I really want to know who you're getting into with. He said, well, you know, it might be snitches or there for their own protection or maybe suicidal, I don't know. Just whatever. Okay. He said, they don't get ministered to a lot. Surprise there, wasn't it? Well, anyhow, so I went in there and I signed in. I said, just give me those people, you know. And I'm sitting there and one guy comes out. He comes out, you know. He had his hand all bandaged up. I said, what happened to you? He said, well, I said, this woman and this little boy was carrying this television. I said, I could see the boy was getting ready to drop it. One of those cabinet models. And said, I run to catch it real fast and I stuck my hand under there about the time he dropped it and it mashed my hand and broke my bones. And he said, but I'd do it again. So he said, the woman didn't even say thank you. I said, well, you know. So, you know, that was kind of an odd story. That's hard to happen, but okay. I said, well, what are you in here for? He said, well, I didn't do it. So everybody in jail is innocent, you know, right off the bat. You know that. Every time you talk to them, they didn't do it. They've been framed. Or somebody else's fault, you know. We all want to blame somebody else for anything that goes wrong in our life. Well, it's their fault, you know. I do that. Y'all do that. Sometimes we carry a grudge, you know. I used to have a sack full of grudges I carry on my shoulder. Some I drug. Always had some holding me back, you know. But you drag them around and take them with you everywhere you go. That ain't no good. We all do that sometimes, though. But he didn't seem to be holding a grudge against anybody. He seemed like a pretty good guy. He told me he was 2 years older than me. And he told me he had been in the military and he went to Vietnam. You know, it ain't been that long ago that I was 18. And I think Vietnam was over a couple years before that. So I was wondering about that, you know, did he go early or what, you know, but I didn't say too much, you know, I just let him talk. And I said, did you see any action? He said, no, I didn't see any action. He said, but I seen a lot of misery. I said, yeah, I guess so. He said, well, when you go into a village and there ain't nobody there but women and old men, he said, all the young men have been gone out to the military. They drug him out to fight, you know. I don't know what he saw or where he was at, whether he was there or not. And he told me he'd been diagnosed as bipolar. So, you know, I mean, by this time, I'm wanting to stick my head in the sand. I'm like, okay, buddy, I've heard about enough out of you, you know. But then he started to talk a little bit, and he said he's in here for spousal abuse. or he'd been charged with hitting his wife or beating his wife or whatever. But he'd been married to this woman for 30 years, he said. And he said in 30 years he'd never touched her. I don't know whether he had or whether he hadn't. But he said that she had had two or three strokes lately, and he had changed doctors with her and brought her to her doctor down at Stanford, and that doctor had given her some prescriptions, and she had taken too much of some of her pills, and she failed, which is maybe, I don't know. Well, he talked on for a little while, and he said, I don't know why this is happening to me at this time in my life. And I said, you're 58 years old. You're just 2 years older than I am. I said, I understand what you're talking about. You know, y'all may not look at me as an old man, but I'm starting to get there. And I'm starting to know what he's talking about, Ginger says every now and then that we're getting into the short rows. And, some of y'all are a lot further in short rows than I am by age, but we don't know where the short rows start, but we have a pretty good idea sometimes that we're in them. And I understood what he was talking about. I understand. I said, there's a guy in the Bible. I said, do you have a Bible? He said, yeah. I said, there's a guy in the Bible that went through quite a bit of stuff. And I told him, I'm not even going to ask you whether you're saved or whether you're lost, because everybody you talk to, they're all going to heaven. I mean, I done figured out, if you're going to talk to somebody about going to heaven, the best thing you can do is tell them how to be saved. And then they'll look in their own heart and in their own mind, and they know if they've ever done that or not. They'll know if they've ever experienced Jesus Christ in a personal way. If they can't answer it in their own heart, then they may start looking. But if you just ask them, are you saved? I used to have a friend that he tried to argue with me all the time that he was saved because he believed that there was a God. A lot of people have a lot of misconceptions about what it is to be saved. And I made a statement here one time that in this country where we live, there are a lot of people that are Christian by culture, but they're not Christian by conviction. And they don't have Christ in their heart. And that's where the conviction comes from. If you have Christ in your heart, you won't have the ability to just go out and do whatever you want to do and feel free about it. But if all you have is a Christian culture, your granny used to go to church all of your life, and you remember how that she used to go and what a good old soul she was, and how she used to sit on her knee and bounce up and down while she read stories to you or whatever. That's a cultural Christian. And I'm afraid that here in the United States, we're getting to the point where we're getting a lot of churches that have about as many cultural members as they do conviction members. There's a lot of people that are just, they're Christian while it suits them. When the going is easy, there's a lot of people that like to ride the Joel Osteen train all the happy times. I love to preach about that stuff. But I told the guy, I said, look here, I want to read you a little something. And we went to Genesis chapter 50, and I read in verse 20 there where that Joseph was talking to his brothers. I said, after I kind of went over it a little bit with him what Joseph went through, and I said, after all of this, Joseph, he had a good idea of how things was going. He told his brothers, he says, what you meant for evil, God used it for good to save, as it is, today, to save much people alive. He saved his entire race of people by the things that he went through. And, you know, we think about some of the things that we go through sometimes in our suffering as being really hard and it's too much for us to bear. But we don't know the good that it's doing, and we don't know the good that it can do. But I'm here to tell you that God can overcome that. He's going to overcome your suffering in your life. Every one of us that's here have some problem in our day-to-day life. Some of us have something that's eating at us so hard that we don't know what to do hardly. I've been through times in my life, and I tell people, you know, that I went through a time and a point when I felt like that all I did was breathe in and breathe out, and then breathe in and then breathe out, waiting for a better day to come that was going to come sooner or later. And sometimes you're hanging on just by a thread, but you know what? That thread is real, and that thread is strong, and there's real hope in that thread, if that thread is Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that you've got to hold on to. But you have to hold on to it. I want to look in 1 Peter chapter 4. Y'all, I'm so fuzzy, I can't hardly see nothing. Chapter 4 and verse 12. Now, I've told you about this before. I've used this verse of Scripture before, but it's applicable each and every day because we're always going through something in life. As long as we're breathing, there's some kind of obstacle in our life. There's always something coming at us. And if you're a Christian and you're trying to live a life that's pleasing to God, there's always going to be something coming at you. Sometimes it might be something big. Sometimes it might not seem so big to you or even to other people, but it's going to make a big difference somewhere to somebody. I always think of my life as being like a map of the United States. You know how Kentucky sits in there and it fits just perfect with all these other states? It's got these little curves and crooks and things like that, different directions. Your life is the same way. You've got these little curves and these crooks and these places that you go, but God fits it all together. That's God's doing. You know, we try to follow Him, but we don't always stay on track. Sometimes we dip down and then we come back, but God fits it all together. The next piece fits right in there. This is God's plan. God has a plan. And His plan is going to come about. And that's God's sovereignty right there. Rodney says I don't say that right, so I'm not going to repeat it. But anyway, that's how God is sovereign. He says there's no tree in sovereignty. That's the way I say it. I've always said it that way. Now, we was looking in verse 12. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." You know, what you're going through, the troubles and the trials in your life, are really things that have been going on since mankind has been here. You know, we have new ways of doing the same old things, but humanity deals with the same things. That's not changed. Solomon said there was no new sin under the sun. They'd all already been invented. You ain't invented it. We invent new ways to do it, and we invent new ways to have problems. But the problems are basically all the same. They've been there since the beginning of time. So you ain't. What's going on with you is not something that has never happened before. I remember had a problem one time. I told a guy about it. He's like, oh, it won't kill you. I thought, well, that's awful insensitive, you know. But you know what? It didn't kill me. I'm still here. He was right. He said, you ain't the first to go through it. You won't be the last. Lots of other people have made it. You'll make it. He's right. I made it. I lived. They lived. You know, our problems seem bigger than they are when we concentrate just on our problems. You know, that's what the problem is. We get to concentrating on the problems. That makes it seem bigger than it is. Because any problem that we got is not bigger than what our God can take care of. The oldest rule, I've told you this before, but the oldest rule in military strategy is to divide and conquer. If you think that you're the only one that's ever went through this, if you're the only one that knows how it feels, Satan's got you right where he wants you. He's got you right where he wants you. If he can get you out alone, you're like a sheep out of the fold with a pack of wolves around you. That's what he wants. If he can convince you that nobody feels for you, nobody has any help for you, that there's no help, no hope, you're the only person that's ever been through this, he's close to getting victory on you. It says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit and glory of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Your life, as you go through these things rightfully, brings glory to God. Somehow, some way. You don't always know how. You don't always see how. But it makes a difference in somebody's life because there's people that are watching you. There's people that watch you that you don't even know are watching you. They're seeing how you're going to react. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in another man's matters. He's talking about the way that we behave. And you know, I'm not talking about going out and being beat up for the cause of Christ. And that, I don't think that's what he's talking about here either, because when he talks about being a murderer or a thief, or, you know, he's talking about your everyday conduct, how you act, how people receive you. You know, there's a lot of peer pressure in this world. People want for people to like them, to get along with them, to agree with them, but they didn't agree with Christ. You know, you have to stand on the things that Christ says. Christians have laid down for too long and let the world walk over them. We have, as Christians in this United States, we've sat back and we accept things with tolerance, or so we say, without saying enough against it. We need to be more vocal, and there's going to be a day in this country when Christians are going to be, I think go through some suffering and some really hard trials, and I'm talking about in a physical sense. Ginger was telling me about a missionary that got shot in Haiti last night, you know. And that's in Haiti, but we just had a bunch of people get shot in a church in this country, and that may happen more and more. It may come to a time when a person is going to suffer some just to gather together and assemble and worship the Lord. But those sufferings are not victory. The suffering that you go through is not victory. It don't have victory over you. We have victory over that. In Romans chapter 8, that's what I was trying to tell this guy, was that, you know, we have victory we're not overcome by the circumstances and situations in our life, whatever happens to us, how people treat us. He felt like he was wrongfully entreated. And I'm going to tell y'all something. He gave me a lawyer's name. He told me to call that lawyer. And he said, anybody that you talk to that knows me will not believe that I've done this to my wife. And he gave me the guy's number, the lawyer, and I called the lawyer that evening, tried to, and wasn't able to leave a message or nothing. And I was going to call him back Monday, and I didn't call. And I was going to call back Tuesday, and I didn't call. And I called today, and I talked to his receptionist. And she said, what's Darryl in for? And I said, they say he's hit his wife. And she said, there is no way. She said, I cannot believe that. She said, that man has stood by his wife through things that I can't tell you. I said, you're kidding. She said, no. She said, I would have to see it, and I still wouldn't believe it. I said, well, I don't know. And I got to talking to this woman a little bit, and this woman is a Christian. And she had a very good testimony. And I felt very confident in who I was talking to, and what she was saying was straight. But she thanked me for calling, and I said, I'm going to have to ask the Lord to forgive me, because I sat here for 2 days. I felt like when the guys met Joseph in the prison, and he got out and he didn't call. He didn't tell the king about him. But I think Joseph was in there about 2 more years, wasn't he? It's a while. I don't know how long it was, but he was in there for a while before that they told the king that he could read dreams for him. But I told the guy, I said, we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. In verse 37, chapter 8 of Romans, it says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's security of the believer, but that's also the power of God and protection in our lives. Whatever happens and whatever comes, we're still more than conquerors, even in death. Even in death, that's why Paul was able to run to the gallows. Because he knew that death was victory. I'm not running to it, but I do look forward to that victory. I do. I look forward to seeing Christ. And I know that there's others here that do too. You know, a lot of times we lose track of the victory that we have because we start to look back. You know, the people, the Jews, they look back into Egypt, you know. They said, man, we wish we was back in there making them bricks. You know? Huh? We don't want to go over to this old promised land. We want to go back in there and make some bricks. They really didn't like making bricks all that well either. You know, Lot's wife, she looked back. A lot of times in our lives, we want to look back at our failures and disappointments, you know. Sometimes we're disappointed in things we've done. We're disappointed in other people. You know, any confidence that you put in other people, there's going to be some disappointment. There'll be disappointment in your wife, your mama, your daddy, your children. We just had Father's Day. My kids give me a card. I thought it was pretty funny. It said, a good daddy points their children in the right direction. And then it said, but a great daddy stands and waits patiently while they take the scenic route. So sometimes they take the scenic route, Sammy. You have to be patient, don't you? I thought about the father in Luke 15, the prodigal son. You know, sometimes we think about other people that have done us wrong, the suffering that we go through, and we think, man, I'm just so wore out with this. You know, we want to blame somebody else for our trouble. It's really eating at us. But we have to understand that we have victory even over that. Look in Proverbs 16. This is one that I really do like. I use it every now and then, and I found it to be quite appropriate in my own life. Proverbs 16 and verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know, I've experienced some things at work. There's sometimes a person, you know, that just really wants to rub you the wrong way. But I believe that if your ways please the Lord, if you try to handle these situations in a way that pleases the Lord, you can have peace with those enemies. Huh? You can. I've seen it work. I've had it work in my own life. In Proverbs 24, verse 16 through 22, you know, I talked about our failures there a while ago. Sometimes we have disappointments and failures in our own self. Sometimes I get so mad at myself over things that I've done in my life or failures that I've had. I just get irritated about it. You know, it makes me mad. Sometimes I get mad at myself, and I think I get madder at myself probably than I do about anybody sometimes. I'm just like, you moron. Why do you do that? But I do. It said, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. You know, sometimes it's hard to not just want to smite them. You know, smiting is a biblical word, ain't it? So sometimes you just want to walk up and smite your enemies. You know, they need a good smiting, Sammy, sometimes. Sometimes that's the way I feel. It said, lest the Lord see it and despise him, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. Don't be envious of what the wicked has. They're not going to get to keep it. You can bet on that. Do not be envious of what the wicked have. They will not get to keep it. They may even have authority over you right now, but they'll not get to keep that either. For thou shalt be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? Those that meddle not with them that are given to change, you know, some people, they want to go against everything that the Lord says. They want to go against all authority. That's who he's talking about. Don't meddle with them people that want to go against all authority, because they're the ones that's got it wrong. Every day, when we step out of the house, we don't know what's fixing to happen. We don't know what kind of circumstances we're going to step into or what kind of situation is going to come up. And I do know one thing. I know that a day can change your whole life in a heartbeat. But I also know that there's one thing that you can hang on to that never changes, that will always be there, and will always be solid. And that's Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that I have him in my life. And I hope that you have him in your life. But only you can answer that question. And I'm going to tell you now that if you don't know for a fact that you're a saved person, I want you to think back. Can you remember a time when you realized that you were lost? My mom always said you had to be lost before you could get saved. You had to realize that you were a sinner, that you had that you've sinned against God. You need to know and realize that Jesus Christ loved you enough that He died on that cross just for you. And Christ went to the cross for you. He went to the cross for me. That's what they mean when they say, do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know and understand that Christ died on that cross just for you? Have you accepted that love into your heart? Have you surrendered your will to His? You have to do that. If you're going to be saved, you have to surrender and say, Lord, I just can't be a good enough person. I accept the fact that you died on that cross and was raised from the dead. If you accept that, you'll be saved in that instant. And you'll know a joy that you've never known in your life. And there'll be a burden lifted from you that you'll feel like you can float through the air. Because there won't be nothing can hold you down then. When I invite our song leader to come, we'll have a song of invitation.